This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Alhamdulillah wahda. Wassalatu wassalamu ala man la nabiyya ba'da. Amma ba'du fa'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu qu anfusakum wa ahlikum nara. Sadaqallahu al-azim. My dear respected scholars, elders and brothers, we begin by praising Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sending salutations upon our beloved Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Brothers, we are living in a world which has various challenges, and among the challenges, and the one that we have the greatest fear about, is that about our children, our young people, our youth. And many times people do speak about this, and we know what is happening in the world. And there is no doubt, firstly, to say that children are a great joy. What is our life without our children? But together with that joy, they are a very great responsibility. Our beloved Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam loved children, and especially he loved his own children, and more importantly, he loved his grandchildren. I was reading a book recently, and that book was about Hazrat Hassan radiallahu ta'ala anhu. It was written by Ali As-Sa'alabi. And in this book, it is said that in the time of Marwan, the governor of Medina, one day he came to Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu and said, "Abu Huraira, why do you show so much regard to Hassan and Hussein when I am the governor of Medina?" So Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu was relaxing, and he got up and he said, "Marwan, don't ever criticize me with regard to that. Let me tell you why I love Hassan and Hussein." He said, "One day we were traveling in a journey, and Hazrat Hassan and Hussein were crying. And Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went into the tent of Fatima and said, 'Why are my grandchildren crying?' And they said, I can't do anything about it because they are overwhelmed by thirst and there is no water." So he said, "Marwan, do you know what the Prophet of Allah did?" He said, he put Hassan and Hussein on his lap, and he took out his tongue, and he told them to suck his tongue. Now Allah knows whether it was a miracle that Allah Ta'ala made water come from there, or was it only for them to suck his tongue to be able to satiate their thirst. And he said, because of that, they kept quiet. This is how Nabiya Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam dealt with his grandchildren. Huh? One day a person came, a Baddu came to Nabiya Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and he saw Nabiya Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam hugging his grandchildren. And he said, "I got 10 children, I never hugged them." And Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "What must I do if Allah Ta'ala has taken mercy out of your heart?" So my brothers, they are great joy, but together with that, they are very great responsibility. And today with the challenges of the age, the responsibility has increased. We all know the challenges of atheism, LGBTQ, gender, and identity crisis. While I would like to believe, I'm always an optimist, I do believe that our children, our youth, compared to children of other groups and other faith groups, alhamdulillah, still better off. Alhamdulillah, we still find our children becoming huffaz. We still see our children coming to the masjid. We still see our children having love for their deen. May Allah Ta'ala increase it. But on the other hand, there are many who are still succumbing to some of the pressures. Some of them have doubts with regard to their religion. Sometimes they have these doubts and they are unable to express it. And this results in an epidemic of confusion, split personality, arguments, and sometimes rebellions in the home. Now, how do we deal with all of these particular type of situations? You know, the first thing I would like to tell people is that we need to step into the role of active parenting. You know, many years back I saw a book in one of the bookshops and I bought it, and I found the title to be very, very interesting. Parenting isn't for cowards, especially in today's time. Parenting isn't for cowards. You can't take a laid back approach, perhaps the way our parents did in 40, 50 years ago. They used to say children must be seen but not heard. And they had a particular method where the children used to know their places. And they knew their limitations. Things are no more like that. So parenting isn't for cowards. We need to step into the role of active parenting. We all want our children to become pious. We want our children to be righteous. We want our children to be beneficial to us. We want them to be good in character, good in conduct. But it's not going to happen just easily. It's going to require a monumental effort from our side to be able to bring them according to those particular ways that we want them to be. And I think it's important that we understand that. So let me give you a few points with regard to, you know, how do we get our children to become pious? How do we get our children to stay away from the fitnas of the age, to stay away from the challenges of the age? Firstly, I would like to say something that many a times we don't pay much attention to is, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has said in a hadith which appears in Kanzul Ummal, respect your parents so that children, your children can respect you. Be chaste and morally upright, then your wives will be morally upright and chaste. There's always an aspect of the way you are, the way you sow, that's how you will reap. The way you are, that comes back to you. You show respect to your parents, your children will show respect to you. If you don't show respect to your parents, it could very likely turn out that your children won't show respect to you. And there are many examples of that which our ulama have given. Maulana Manzoor Nomani in one of his books writes, he said, I one day know about a situation where in one of the villages in India, someone was beating up his parents. But you see, the village came to see what was happening, but the parent himself was saying nothing. So the people of the village also didn't say anything. And he came to a particular stage, he came to a particular place, and then the parent said, oh my child, enough, don't beat me more anymore. So the people of the village said that, why did you carry on? You made him beat you, and you only came to this particular place, and then you told him stop. He said, I also beat my parent after this stage. I also hit him here till this stage. And I knew one day it's going to happen to me. So therefore when I came here, I said, oh my son, enough, stop. I also beat my parent only after this age. And this particular stage. Respect your parents so your children can respect you. You respect your parents, your children will, inshallah, will become righteous. One of the first steps. The second important point that we must understand is to understand the responsibility of parenting. Many times we don't understand the responsibility of parenting. Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said in a hadith, when Allah Ta'ala gives authority to a person with regard to something, if Allah Ta'ala gives you authority over your children, or maybe give you an authority as, you know, a politician or whatever, and you do not look and care for those people who are under your authority, you will not even smell the fragrance of Jannah. So understand the responsibility of being a parent. Now many a times you and I, we do understand the responsibility of being a parent to the extent that we all know that we have to provide for the financial needs and the material needs of our children. Everyone knows that. We have to buy them clothes, we have to put them in school, we have to pay the school fees, each and everything of that we know. But what about the spiritual needs, which is as if not more important? Allah Ta'ala so beautifully has made mention of this in the Holy Quran. And He has given us such a remarkable type of understanding and understanding of our responsibility in this regard. وَعْمُرْ أَهْلَكَ بِالصَّلَاةِ وَاسْتَبِرْ عَلَيْهَا لَا نَسْأَلُكَ رِزْقًا نَحْنُ نَرْزُقُكَ. Command your family to perform salat and you also remain steadfast upon it. We don't ask you for the risk. نَحْنُ نَرْزُقُكَ. We will provide for them through you. We will use you to provide for the children. But what Allah Ta'ala says, you see to it that you tell them to perform salat. We don't ask you for their risk, we will provide for them. Allah will use the parents to provide for them. But at the end of the day, we must keep in mind that Allah will use the parents to provide for the risk of the children. But as far as spirituality is concerned, Allah Ta'ala tells us definitively, you command your children to perform salat. And what is the greatest thing that we want with regard to our children? To preserve the iman. There is nothing greater for us than to preserve the iman of our children. And my dear respected brothers, we can never put a price. We can never put a financial value with regard to iman. Iman is more valuable than any type of material value that there is. Any type of money. Allah Ta'ala in the Holy Quran has made mention of a very amazing incident. Am kuntum shuhada idh hadara Ya'qub al-maut. Were you present when Yaqub alayhi salatu was salam was on the throes and just about to die and, you know, leave this world? Am kuntum, were you present? And why does Allah Ta'ala uses this? Allah Ta'ala uses this metaphor to bring the importance of the lesson Allah is about to give us. إِذْ قَالَ لِبَنِيهِ مَا تَعْبُدُونَ مِنْ بَعْدِهِ. And He told unto His children, who are you going to worship after me? And sometimes I want you just to think about this, my dear respected brothers. The Nabi of Allah, Hazrat Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam, whose father is Ishaq alayhi salatu wasalam, a Nabi and Prophet of Allah, whose grandfather is Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, a Prophet of Almighty Allah, whose uncle is Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam, a Prophet of Almighty Allah. And amongst his children is Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, is a Nabi of Allah. And what is he telling, and what is he asking his children? Who are you going to worship after me? You and I would say, surely our children are not supposed to know who they are supposed to worship. Don't they read the kalima, la ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah? Why are you asking them such a question? But for him, the greatest concern was the iman of his children. And then when they said, na'budu ilahaka wa ilaha abaika Ibrahim wa Ismaila wa Ishaqa ilaha waida. Oh my father, don't worry, we will worship the Lord of yours and the Lord of our forefathers, our illustrious forefathers, Ibrahim wa Ismail wa Ishaqa ilaha wahida, the one Allah, wa nahnu lahu muslimun, and we will die as Muslims. You can imagine if that was his greatest concern when he heard that answer, what must have been his satisfaction? Do we have the same concern with regard to the iman of our children? Perhaps today, you know, they say there was this humorous incident. A person was on his deathbed and he had three children. So he said, Muhammad, where are you? Muhammad came. Ibrahim, where are you? Ibrahim came. Ismail, where are you? Ismail came. So afterwards he said, if all three of you are here, who's in the business? Who's in the business? Perhaps that is our concern. So the first thing, my dear respected brothers, understand the importance of preserving the iman of our children. The second important thing that I would like to make mention of is communicate with our children. We need to communicate with our children. Where do we learn this aspect with regard to communication? We learn it from Abul Anbiya, the father of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made mention with regard to it. And remember the time when Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, Ya bunayya inni ara fil manam anni azbahuka fanzur madha tara. Recall the time when Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam told unto Ismail, oh my son, I am seen in a dream that I am slaughtering you. Tell me, what is your opinion? And just look at the remarkable aspect of this. He is asking his son, I have seen in a dream I am slaughtering you. He had no doubt with regard to carrying it out, but he made his son Ismail part of the good deed. He communicated with him. He spoke to him about it. He told him that I have seen in a dream. What is your opinion? Today we would perhaps think that to ask the opinion of our children would be something that is against parental authority. No, it's not. He made him part of the good deed. Mention is made, and of course we see in the Quran that in this, you know, we see in the Quran, Allah Ta'ala has made mention, وَإِذْ قَالَ لُقْمَانُ لِبْنِهِ. And recall the time when Luqman told unto his son, ya bunayya, hold ruku, oh my son, do this. Ulama tell us, and this is in the historical books, that his son initially was not obedient to Allah. By Luqman constantly speaking to him, he became obedient. Communicate with your children. Speak to them about good, even if sometimes they might turn a blind eye. Or at least maybe not a blind eye, a blind ear, or they don't listen. But at least what it is, speak to them. We need to be speaking to them. We give, when a child is born, what do? We read and we give the azan in the ear. They might not even understand it, but why do we do it? We do it that the name of Allah Ta'ala, the greatness of Allah, can settle in their hearts. So in a similar manner, continue speaking to your children. Communicate with them. We all know the pressures of, you know, the what we call peer pressure. Now, in this particular regard with peer pressure, you know, nowadays we sometimes make a joke with regard to it. They say one of the spouses was, you know, they had an argument. So they had the argument in the house, and one of the spouses decided, you know, that I'm going to give the other spouse silent treatment. I'm not going to speak to the other spouse for a whole week, thinking that that will be a means of punishment. But you just see how sometimes it happens. They look at things differently from what you are looking at it. So one spouse look at it different from the other spouse. And after a week, the other spouse said, it seems we're getting along quite well nowadays. But now I'm saying communicate. We heard about the aspect of peer pressure. What is peer pressure? Peer pressure is society's pressure, the pressure of the friends for you to become part of the group, to do what is trendy, even if it is wrong. And just remember, peer pressure is not only something that is upon our youngsters. One remarkable incident about peer pressure I will give you. And it was about someone who was mature, not only mature, elderly in age. When Nabi Karim ﷺ came to his uncle Abu Talib, "Oh my uncle, say one time the kalima la ilaha illallah in my ear. I will intercede on your behalf on the day of Qiyamah. And I will tell Allah, my uncle who supported me, despite the fact that he was not a Muslim, but he supported me against the oppression of the Quraysh. He didn't allow them to oppress me. For whatever reason, maybe on the basis of family, maybe on the basis of tribe, he didn't allow them to oppress me. He was with me. Now he's on his deathbed. And, oh my uncle, say one time the kalima in my ear. Even if you don't have to say it loud, say it one time in my ear. And I will intercede with you on the day of Qiyamah that my uncle read the kalima before he passed away." And Abu Jahl was saying, Abu Jahl told him, "Abu Talib, for the fear of your nephew's Jahannam, are you going to leave the religion of your forefathers? Abu Talib, for the fear of your nephew's Jahannam, are you going to leave the religion of your forefathers?" And Abu Talib didn't read the kalima. Pressure from his peers. At an age when he was so elderly in age, matured, someone who did so much. So peer pressure, if it can impact upon someone, can you imagine the impact it can have upon our children? Don't underestimate peer pressure. And one of the things I always tell people, don't underestimate the challenges our children are going through. You and I, we lived perhaps in a time which was perhaps much more innocent than what we are in. Today they are living in an age where at the press of a button, the worst type of immorality they can access without even you knowing anything about it as a parent. So understand the challenges of the age. Understand what they are going through. And someone has beautifully said, like, if you got, 10 digits in a mobile phone number and you're sending someone 083 so, and you miss one number out, you will never get through to the person whom you are trying to get through. In a similar manner with our children, understand the pressures they are going through. Understand the pressures. We lived in an age sometimes, perhaps, maybe at that particular time, the parents had a very high bar with regard to their children. We need to understand the pressures. We need to understand where they are going through, some of the fitnas they are going through, some of the temptations they are going through. I was in Uzbekistan. When we were in Uzbekistan, someone told us nearby here is a cover of Bayezid Bustami. And one incident of Bayezid Bustami, rahmatullah alayhi, came to mind. Ya Allah. Bayezid Bustami's father passed away when he was young. The mother sent him to go and study. So one day he had a little bit free time, so he came back to come and visit his mother. And he knocked at the door. And the mother said, "Who is it?" And he said, "Bayezid." And she was alone. She was a woman staying alone. And she said, "Which Bayezid? I don't know any Bayezid. The Bayezid I know, I sent him to go and study and I told him not to come back until he completed his studies." Bayezid got the message, he went away. Which parent in today's day can do that? Which parent can do that? Maybe perhaps we need to lower the bar, but we need to understand the pressures they are on. And one of the things that I always tell people, my dear respected brothers, give your children confidence. Give them love. Those children who've got confidence, those children who got love, those children who got kindness from their parents, they will be better suited to be able to face the temptation of peer pressure than those who don't have confidence, than those who don't get love from their parents, those who don't get kindness from their parents. Show tremendous amount of love. I gave you the example of our beloved Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam giving love to his grandchildren. Show love to your children. فَبِمَا رَحْمَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ لِنْتَ لَهُمْ. It is a mercy of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that the Prophet of Almighty Allah was kind. And because of that kindness, the people loved him. The people flocked around him. If you are harsh, لَنْ فَضْلُ مِنْ هُولِكَ. People don't come around you. If you are kind to your children, they would love you. They will come closer to you. I'm not saying they mustn't be disciplined, but show them kindness. Children, even if they give an impression of being independent, they crave for affirmation and validation and love. Don't you see many a times, you will find it in a family gathering, you got children, And all of a sudden, one of the children will throw a tantrum. Right? And why will he throw a tantrum? And there are a lot of children who are around him. The cousins are all there. And the child will throw a tantrum. Child psychologists tell us that a child sometimes would like to be noticed even as a naughty child, even as someone who is throwing tantrum, than to be ignored as a good child. If it was sitting silently, no one would have taken account of him. So he is sitting amongst his cousins. No one is paying attention to him. His parents are not showing attention, paying attention to him. He throws a tantrum. Now because of the tantrum, everyone is now turning towards him. A child needs that type of love and affirmation and validation. Sometimes he needs that validation, even if he has to throw a tantrum. Don't ever let it be that the child must get love from outside the house, from someone who will mislead him, someone who will give him the love that he's craving for and he's deprived from at home. And then he must get it from someone who misleads him. And sometimes that misleading can take various forms. It can take the form of an opposite gender, and sometimes it can take the form of the same gender. So don't ever let it be that the child is deprived of love. So this is something that we all have to keep in mind. Children need constant love and affirmation, even if they're doing wrong. You can show and say, this what you are doing is wrong, but you don't ever keep them away. You never rebuke and you never rebel and keep them away completely. See, Hazrat Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam knew his children. They were the cause of the disappearance of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. He knew it. Fasabrun jameel. What did he say? I know. Sabr is better. Wallahu al-musta'an. Allah will help me. But even after that, he didn't take them out of his house. He kept ta'alluq with them. He kept ta'alluq with them. And then after 40 years, they were to go and make mention with regard to the fact that they were behind the disappearance of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. So we never ever, even if we show that we know that they are wrong, we will tell them they're wrong, but we will keep that ta'alluq with them. We will keep the communication open with them. And there are various parenting styles in this short period of time. I don't have the time to be able to discuss all of that. There are different parenting styles, you know. So many a times you and I, maybe the people who are elderly, we might think that the authoritarian way, my way or the highway. We say, children must listen to us. You know, we think that that is the best. It might not necessarily be the best. If parents are authoritarian, the child becomes fearful of making mistakes, starts lying for the fear of being punished, feels insecure, and then he does things that are wrong behind the parents' back. And many a times the way this is said, that the last people to know about what the child is doing is the parents. So that is not perhaps the best way. Some of the ways that you could perhaps consider is the right balance between nurturing and setting limits. You know, it is frightening for a child to grow up without limits. And no one will ever recommend that. And we don't ever recommend that a child must ever grow up without limits. Children are like budding plants. The way you nurture budding plants, that's the way you nurture children. And you keep them away from the elements. You try and keep them away from the challenges. You speak to them about the challenges. You speak to them, you communicate. So you set limits, and perhaps within that limits, now is the time you might negotiate with your children. Okay, you want to do this, this is the limits with regard to it, within this limits I allow you to do something, but you have to show me that you are going to show me that the trust I have given you, that you will fulfill the trust that I'm giving you. So sometimes you have to set limits and, you know, nurture them and give them limits and let them, allow them to work within that limits and oversee those limits. But this is just one of the examples that I have given you. And one of the examples that we have to give with regard to this is be a good role model. I can't overemphasize this aspect. Be a good role model to your children. There was a survey done recently in the United States of America. You know, who would you like to be your role model? In a society like that, which we would regard not to be righteous, 81% of the respondents said we want our parents to be our role model. And don't ever make your children, you know, be disappointed with you in terms of your moral conduct. Be a good role model to your children. They look after and they look upon their children. Of course, in a short time, we can't speak about everything with regard to parenting. I've just given you a few tips. Allah Ta'ala in the Holy Quran has made mention of a very amazing and a very, you know, important ayat and verse. Allah Ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu qu anfusakum wa ahlikum nara. O you who believe, save yourself and your family members from the fire of Jahannam. Ya Allah. Sometimes when I look at this ayat, I think, Ya Allah, save your children from the fire of Jahannam. Huh? The fuel of that fire is stones, rocks, and human beings. That fire of Jahannam will become even more fierce by more human beings thrown into it and rocks thrown into it. Now, just give you a hypothetical example, and may it never ever happen to anyone. Right? One day you're coming home and you see that in your particular neighborhood is a fire. There's a fire raging. And you say, no, it must be someone there. Maybe the fell fire. Maybe it is the trash that has been thrown and there's fire there. And then you come nearer, you see it's quite close to your home. Now you're starting to get worried. When you come near, you see it's actually your home. And you're worried. You've got three children and you've got your wife. And you come there. And you're worried, what's going to happen to my children? Where are they? You come close. The police stop you. You say, no, this is my house. They allow you to go through. You got three. You see your two children on the pavements. They are safe. You see your wife change. And you see the third child is not there. And you see your child somewhere in the house waving to you. What will you do at that time? What will you do? You will put all, you will put your life at risk to be able to save your child. I know, I will do that, you will do that. My dear respected brothers, this is a hypothetical example. May Allah never let it happen to anyone. But in that same urgency we require to bring up our children in such a manner that they don't become those that go to Jahannam. Qu anfusakum wa ahlikum nara. Save yourself and your family members from Jahannam. That is our responsibility as parents and our responsibility as a community. May Allah give us the tawfiq of fulfilling that responsibility. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.